Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. This week we have been addressing the subject of lies Satan tells people about sex. When Satan strategically plants a lying thought in your mind, the purpose is very simple. It is to pervert the truth of God's Word in your own thinking. In the area of sexuality, Satan has been very successful at planting thoughts in our culture in the United States and abroad as well through the media in various forms, whether it's literature, magazines, newspapers, television, movies, and the like, of presenting ideas that are contrary to God's Word with regard to the issue and subject of human sexuality. This week we have taken a look at six specific lies that Satan tells people about sex for the purpose of perverting their thinking in the area of sexuality. We know that God's Word is very clear that God created the sexual union between a husband and a wife and set up the boundaries of the marriage covenant to be the place in which sexual expression and sexual pleasure was to be enjoyed. Yet Satan has perpetrated many lies that are absolutely contrary to this godly biblical principle. Today I'm going to review the six lies that we covered earlier in the week and how to combat each and every one of them in your own mind and in your life. And then we will pray at the end of our time together to break off any sexual bondage or oppression that has been warring against you. The first two lies that we talked about earlier in the week are two lies that are at opposite ends of the spectrum. The first one is that all sex is dirty, defiling, and anyone who wants to stay holy needs to stay away from sex, period. We know that this is a lie, since God is the creator of sexuality, human sexuality, and because the Word of God speaks about this in Hebrews 13:4, where it says, "The marriage bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge." That scripture clearly lays out there's a place where sex is not defiled. It's a place where it's pure and holy and beautiful and sacred. It's in that God-ordained place for sexual expression, the covenant of a Christian marriage. In order for you to combat this lie, if it has worked against you, if you were raised by parents who told you explicitly or it was simply implied that all sex is dirty and you should stay away from it, you should never desire it, and you should run from it, and gave this subject of sexuality a negative connotation, first of all, you'll have to confess to God agreeing with that lie as sin. And you'll have to ask the Lord to help you renew your mind with regard to what God says about sex. In order to renew our minds, we are told in Romans that we're not to be conformed to the image of the world, but we are to be transformed or changed by the renewing of our mind. And you renew your mind with the truth of God's Word. You take what God says and you meditate on it, you think about it, and you speak it, and you get to the place where you have it planted in your heart so that that Word can rise up within you when you are confronted with a lie that is contrary to the truth of God's Word. So when Satan whispers, sex is dirty, you don't want anything to do with it, and you're with your spouse who would love to have a sexual intimacy with you, you are going to have to combat that with the Word of God. You're going to have to say, Hebrews 13:4 says, the marriage bed is undefiled. There is nothing dirty, unclean, or impure about the marriage bed. It's a place of purity. It's a place of sacredness created by God. You have to take out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You'll have to combat that lie with God's Word. It will take vigilance and diligence, but God will give you the victory if you'll do it the Bible way. A second area for you to meditate upon, read, get into your spirit, is the book, The Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon is quite a graphic illustration of married love. It talks about the desire of the husband for the wife and the wife for the husband, that desire and their coming together and the beauty that the husband sees in that wife. And it is a very lovely book. Some people have simply tossed it aside as an allegorical tale of God loving Israel or God loving the church. And certainly we can apply that figurative application, but it also has to be taken in its literal context that God put that in there as a demonstration that He blessed marriage bed. He blessed married love. He wants pleasure and joy and celebration to be part of the sexual union between a husband and a wife, and we need to take it the way that it is written and not cast it off as just an illustration or a figurative example or an allegory of some kind. Certainly there's double meaning, but let's look at what God put in there. There's a celebration of physical love between husband and wife, and it's what God intended for marriages. So you'll have to combat the lie, all sex is dirty, with the Word of God, Hebrews 13:4, as well as the Song of Solomon. The second lie that we addressed earlier in the week is the opposite end of the spectrum, where it says, sex is simply as natural as breathing or eating or drinking water, and it's a basic need that should be fulfilled and never repressed in any form. There should be no shame involved with any sexual expression. This was a common lie that was propagated during the 60s and the 70s in the United States, where all restraint was cast aside and people were encouraged to simply explore and enjoy all means of sexual expression. And this clearly violates God's word as well and is a lie from the enemy to get people into the bondage of sexual immorality. We can combat that lie with the word of truth from Colossians 3:5-6. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is adultery. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. This tells us that illicit sexual activity outside of marriage brings the wrath of God or the judgment of God. We have to combat every lie Satan tells us with the Word of God. Another one that applies here is 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5, which tells us, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who don't know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Those two scriptures combat the lie that anything and everything goes as far as sexuality is concerned, and you shouldn't restrain yourself in any way. The third lie that we address this week is the one that if sexual immorality or perversion is just going on in your mind and not in your body, then it's not sin. But Matthew 5:27-28, Jesus addressed this head on and he said, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I say, if a man sees a woman and lusts after her, he has already committed adultery in his heart. This addresses the issue of sexual immorality of the mind. God does not want us sinning in our minds with impure thoughts. Philippians 4:8 needs to be your combat scripture where you say, no, I'm only going to meditate on what is pure and what is true and what is praiseworthy. use that scripture if you struggle in the area of impure thoughts. The last two lies that we address this week have to do with the selfish sexual sin of masturbation, which many people think is not a sin against anyone else, and therefore it's not a sin at all. And yet it is inextricably linked with sexual fantasy and impure thoughts, and therefore is a violation of Philippians 4:8, as well as being a very simply a self-centered, selfish sin that will poison the marriage bed. The last lie we'll address is this. The lie that says once you've sinned sexually and defiled yourself, you can never be pure again. This is a lie that Satan intends to keep you from ever enjoying the truth of God's word that says that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, as well as Isaiah 1 verses 18 and 19 that says, if your sin be as scarlet, it shall be white as snow. God is a good God, a God of mercy, and he is able to cleanse what is defiled. Don't let Satan tell you you're impure for life if you've sexually sinned. There's no sin that's outside of the blood of Jesus if you believe for God's forgiveness and the provision that he made for us in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pray with me right now if you've struggled in the area of sexual sin. First of all, confess to the Lord your pursuit of sexual gratification outside of marriage as sin. Say, Father, I break off every agreement I've ever made with sexual immorality in any form. I ask you to cleanse me of sexual immorality, defilement, uncleanness, and lust. I forgive every person who's ever sinned against me sexually, and I renounce every soul tie that's ever been made through my sexual sin or the sin of someone else against me. And I break that off now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com, or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.